This is Zone One Radio.
Zone One Radio.
The government may be closed, but we're still working. I'm Zeph, and this is Zone 1 Radio's Email from America. And this week, we're traveling to Texas for the Austin City Limits Festival. I mean, why shouldn't we leave town? There's no work to do here in Washington, D.C. So let's get our trip started with a group of young men from Jackson, Mississippi, who've been playing together since they were 15. This is The Weeks and the house we grew up in. So here in the heart of a government shutdown, it would make sense that we're covering that. But all the furloughed federal workers that we wanted to put on the show told us that their bosses had advised them not to talk to the media, which we at Zone 1 officially are. And as much as I pleaded, I feel your pain, I told them. I'm not getting paid by my employer either. They didn't want to take a chance. So government, if you won't come to us, then we won't come to you. Instead, we're off to Texas for the biggest music event in the country, the Austin City Limits Music Festival, which plays over the first two weekends in October. And to celebrate, every band you hear on the show, including the song that just opened for us, are playing this year. But as we're committed to playing only American music here on the email, that means you won't hear any Arctic Monkeys, Muse, Franz Ferdinand, or Depeche Mode, who are all in Texas as I speak. What that does mean is Vampire Weekend, you are up. You talk to Sab like a pile of leaves. I've
got to find some. I'm going to try to put myself back in that place again. Well, when you're down on your luck, and you ain't got a buck, in London, you're a goner. Even London Bridge has fallen down and moved to Arizona now. And I'll substantiate the rumor that the English sense of humor is drier than the Texas sand. You can put up your deuce or you can...
Now you are listening to Gary P. Nunn's London Homesick Blues, country music song about London. Anyway, it's the theme song to a TV show called Austin City Limits that's been on the air since 1976. Now, Gary, let me turn you down a little bit, because now, while you have a great singing voice, people are going to be stuck with my talking voice. Anyway, I want to give you a sense now of the relationship between Austin City Limits, the TV show, and Austin City Limits, the festival. Now, the festival has only been around for about a decade. It's obviously now recognized as one of the premier music festivals in the States, if not the world. This year will attract over 500,000 spectators over two weekends. The festival was born out of, or inspired by, depending who you talk to, the public television music series, The Austin City Limits, the theme tune of which you are kind of hearing underneath me. Anyway, any of you listening of a certain age will probably remember an old BBC TV show called The Old Grey Whistle Test. 80s pop reference. If you don't remember, go to Wikipedia. Anyway, to get a sense of the relationship between the Austin City Limits Festival and Austin City Limits, the TV show, imagine if Glastonbury had been spawned by The Old Grey Whistle Test. Now, you get a sense of the two things together. Anyway, anyone who is anyone in the music world has been on both the show and played at the ACL. And I have a list here. You can hear my papers rustling. These are some of the guys that have been on both the TV show and played at the festival in the last 10 years. Pearl Jam, Fish, Muse, R.E.M., Willie Nelson, Sheryl Crow, Coldplay, Oasis, The Dixie Chicks, Jack White, David Byrne, Mos Def, Norah Jones, Franz Ferdinand, Elvis Costello, everyone, the Raconteurs, basically anyone who's anyone has done both. Now, while here in the States, public television is the closest thing that America has to the BBC, it may well be the preserve of those with a slightly more discerning taste in television, again, think BBC Two, it has been responsible at some point for this the Super Bowl of sound. Again, listen to all those bands that have done both. Anyway, coming up on the line, our correspondent Cameron. He's based in Austin. He's a veteran of the ACL. He's going to come on and give us a sense of the ACL experience. But before that, a duo from New York called Miss Mister, but spelt Ms. Mister. Welcome back to the show, Cameron, our at-large correspondent from Austin, Texas. Cameron, how are you? Welcome back to the Email from America.
Thanks. It's always good to be back, sir.
Talk to me a little bit. Obviously, this show is about the Austin City Limits Festival. Share with us a little bit, though. You're not a native Texan. Share with us your impressions of Texas as a state and then where Austin fits into all of that. Like I said, I know back in the UK, I think people, you do have a cliched view of what it's like in Texas. Can you share some of your impressions of Texas with the listeners?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So just a little background on me. So as you know, Zeph, I lived in D.C., Washington, D.C., lived in New York, lived in Chicago. And my last visit was in San Francisco, spent about 10 years there. And at one point, accepted a job in Austin. And so I'm driving from San Francisco to Texas and to Austin, and the whole time what's going through my head is, what have I gotten myself into? Everybody has these preconceived notions of what Texas is going to be like. It's going to be a lot of people in cowboy hats. It's going to be a lot of gun racks in the back of a pickup truck. It's going to be cowboy boots. It's going to be ultra right wing conservative Christian thinking. And for me, none of those things are a reflection of my way of thinking. And
you don't aspire to be a gun-toting ass kicker?
You know, in my mind, sometimes I do, but I just can't deliver that kind of a lifestyle. So when I get here, I'm driving down here, and I get here and get to Austin, and it turns out that it's really not like that. You see little bits of it. I never see anybody in cowboy hat. Trucks are everywhere, so there's no way pickup trucks. There's no way to avoid that. But the biggest concern I had was the ultra right wing crazy Rick Perry, G.W. Bush crazies. And it's really not like that. Austin's actually a fairly liberal town. It's a city. It's the 11th largest city in the United States. But the people's political views are actually really reasonable. The people here are incredibly friendly. Compared to all the other places I've lived, this is by far the friendliest place I've ever been to. So for me, I had a lot of preconceived notions from just movies and westerns and things like that, what Texas would be. And, it has been nothing like those preconceived notions.
So Austin is the state capital. I take it is right now we're in the middle of a government shutdown. Is there much talk? I know every election rolls around and a politician from Texas likes to take the stage and boast about how he plans for Texas to secede from the union. even in what you say is quite a liberal town, are people looking at what's going on in D.C. thinking, ooh, maybe we might be better being off on our own?
Well, I moved here, and this is years ago I moved here. And I'm not thinking anything about, I'm working, I'm enjoying life. And then it just comes up out of nowhere that the governor's talked about secession. And I'm like, this isn't the Civil War. There's no problems here. What's going on? So it's actually pretty funny to think that stuff like that still comes up in the state of Texas. I don't know how often it comes up, but yeah, they still talk about it. So it wouldn't surprise me if crazy Rick Perry, our current governor, throws that out there. You know, we don't need the government. If they can't manage themselves, Texas can go on its own. So I wouldn't put it past us.
And yet, strangely enough, Austin, home of secession and all these different things, Austin is also the home of the Austin City Limits, one of the biggest music festivals in the world, which is kind of the primary reason you've come on
talk to me a little bit. I've shared with our listeners sort of some of the history of the Austin St. Edmunds Festival. I think people back in England are getting a sense that it's a Glastonbury-type experience. But talk to me a little bit about what this big, now over two weekends, what this musical festival means to Austin and its and the surrounding area.
You know, the city, I'll just talk about the city itself. So Austin has proclaimed itself, and I think it's a fairly legitimate claim considering all the other places I've lived, but it considers itself the live music capital of the world. And, you know, you sit there and go, well, how do you make that claim? Well, if you go into the city and you go into almost any restaurant or a bar, there's a live band, and it's not as though it's a crappy live band. These are really high quality musicians. And so the city has really built itself off of that, off that reputation. You know, it's kind of spread, and now things like Austin City Limits are, you know, such a huge music festival that it actually kind of defines what the city is. And a lot of you get a lot of young people who have come here just for the festivals and get exposed to what Austin is like. And the next thing you know is they're actually moving here. Now, are they moving here because of music festivals? I'd like to think that kids are a little smarter than that. But, you know, it gives them a taste of what the city is like, even though they spend just two weekends down here. But the end result is Austin is the fastest growing city in the United States. So at the 11th largest right now, but it's estimated in another 10 years it'll actually double. So, and I think a lot of it has to do with the open culture, the friendliness, and this music culture that people really enjoy.
Back with Cameron, our correspondent from Austin, Texas. We're talking Austin City Limits. You've obviously been to the festival. 75,000 people go to this thing every day. I did mention in an earlier segment that the biggest British equivalent is Glastonbury, but Glastonbury is famous for people camping and staying overnight. Talk to me a little bit about the logistics of watching music at the ACL.
Yeah, so... So there is no camping out on the grounds. It's a large park. I couldn't tell you the size. My guess is 100 acres. It could be 200 acres, but it's a large park in downtown Austin. So people are staying in hotels and probably shacking up with friends who live in the area. But yeah, they pack in about they set a max of like 75,000. Attendees every day. I think over the course of it, they probably get around 500,000 people to go to the shows. But they set up about six stages, pretty big stages around the park. And so, you know, at any one time, there's easily six shows going on and then a few other minor shows. But, you know, overall, the demographic of the people who are there are, for the most part, between the ages of, I'd say, about 16 to 24, 25. And then people like you and myself would be in the extreme minority at the over the age of 40. So,
What do you mean, you and myself? Come on now.
I'm sorry.
I'm 27 and counting.
Group you into that category, but for people such as myself, we stick out like sore thumbs when you're surrounded by like 70,000. 16, 18, 20-year-old kids who have no parental control have been drinking and smoking everything and anything that's available to them. So it makes for an interesting environment, to say the least.
You know, I want to share with our listeners, I'm looking at the lineup for this year's Austin City Limits, and right now this show is between the two weekends, this edition of the Email for America. I'm looking at all the bands. It seems to be a haven for British bands. Depeche Mode, The Cure, Muse... let me see who else. The Arctic Monkeys, Franz Ferdinand. So, I mean, I will be fair on the ACL and just say it attracts an international lineup. What's it actually like trying to see some of these bands?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go. You've got six stages, so you just kind of like, you know, you choose what you want to go see, and Either you set out beforehand and sit there and say, you know, I know that Depeche Mode's going to play. And I did this one time. I stood in one spot for 2 hours waiting for the next band to show up. And so you've got a good spot so that when the 70 other thousand people want to show up and see the big name bands, you've already got your spot. And so you're relatively close, but the idea of standing in one spot for 2 hours to wait to see a show that might last an hour and a half in and of itself is actually pretty grueling. And you throw on top of this, you know, I don't know if your London audience knows necessarily what the weather like is in Texas, but it is brutally hot in Texas. So typically the show has been in the month of August. That's the last time I went was when it was in August. Texas in August is 105, 110 degrees, 80 to 90% humidity. So it's a grueling experience on top of that. So the organizers actually moved the date later in the year because I think they had too many medical emergencies from kids over drinking and then just passing out and having to carry them out. So it's made it, I think, a little bit more manageable logistically to have it later in the year. But, you know, all those bands, you know, you pick who you want to see, you go, and, you know, if they sit there and they suck, then you know, you walk a few hundred yards and go to the next band and, you know, see what you want to see.
So let me cut to it now. You talked about the heat. You talked about people drinking. You did make some accusations about my age. That being said, I will admit this. I am very much a homebound person that likes everything organized and sanitary. What's it like in the park when you've got to do things like go to the bathroom? Talk to me about that outdoor experience surrounded by people that have been drinking. Everyone is sweating out four times their weight in fluid. How do things go down in terms of just living regular life?
Yeah, so I'll tell you the good and the bad. So the good is, well, I don't know if this is good. This is any kind of music festival. You know, you got so many porta potties. It's, you know, it's these guys are making a killing, I guess, in the porta potty business. But you know, they're lined off all over the place, and you know, the problem that happens is that when you know you're like me and some other people who sit there and go, oh, Depeche Mode, I wanna get a good spot for Depeche Mode. So you get to your spot hours before the show, and then just over time, as the show starts to come together, tens of thousands of other people start to surround you, and they pack you in. And so you're squished into these little spots, and you're like, well, you got to go to the bathroom. What do you do? Well, as it turned out, there's this young lady who was just standing a few feet away from me and a buddy of mine. And we look over, and she starts yelling. She's like, I'm not going to give up my spot. And then the next thing you know, she's squats down and does what she needs to do right where she's standing. And I'm like, you know, that's truly a committed fan. It's disgusting, but that's a committed fan. So there are those who really, you know, they throw everything to the wind and say, I'm just going to do what I need to do. So makes it interesting.
Well, one of the acts this year is Lionel Richie, and in a moment I'm going to play a Lionel Richie track for everyone. I can only hope that the Lionel Richie fans are not going to behave like that. We'll be back with Cameron after this. You know, what's sort of the attire here? You've got a whole cross-section of locals, people from out of town. You know, is everyone rolling around in ironic T-shirts, or is it all bear shirts and baseball caps? You know, try and share with everyone back in England what that crowd looks like.
Sure, yeah. So, you know, obviously young crowd, but, you know, what ends up happening is the weather dictates, you know, most of what people are going to wear. Now, I describe what the heat is like. So, you know, people dress according to, you're going to spend anywhere from 6 to 10 hours out in this venue, hotter than hell, you know, packed in with people. So it's really pretty grueling on you. So you get a lot of people, tank tops, shorts, and flip-flops. Well, you know, one of the years that I went, it rains. And you're like, oh, you know, wonderful. It cools off, wonderful weather. You know, it makes it more manageable. You don't have to worry about all that heat. But, you know, visions of Woodstock come to mind where, you know, you get all this mud and sludge, and which is exactly what happened this year. Not this year, but in the year that one of the years I went. And there was so much mud. It was unbelievable. And the last thing you think of is, you know, what kind of footwear should I be wearing when it's muddy? Well, when you take your first step, you know, you step into the area, and the first step into the mud, that flip-flop is gone. You're never going to see that flip-flop again. And the reason isn't because you can't find it, is because your flip-flop is amongst 100 other flip-flops in that same little square area, along with bras and beer cans and everything else that either people threw on the ground or just got stuck in the mud for some reason. So it's just, you know, you sit there and think, well, you know, I mean, I guess your choice is you could just reach into the ground and pull out another flip-flop and slap it on your foot and on you go. And maybe that's probably the best strategy to have, is to say they're all interchangeable. It just doesn't matter.
I guess if you see a 6'3" guy wandering around with size 4 flip-flops, you know that he's just got back from the festival.
Exactly.
You obviously went with a group of people. How is it trying to sort of navigate one of these festivals with a group of people that may have different tastes? Or what happens when you sort of separate and go your separate ways, and then you try and hook up later and it's been raining and people are covered in mud or whatever? To talk to me a little bit of the dynamics of trying to navigate. Again, I'm a homebound person. Share with me, myself and the listeners, the dynamics of navigating one of these events.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, your friends, you get together before the show, and, you know, weeks before the show, you're mapping out, these are good bands. We got to see this one. And, you know, you all go together and show up at a show, and you sit there thinking, this is going to be incredible. I remember a few bands thinking, this is going to be amazing. And within the second song, you're like, Jesus Christ, these guys suck. And so, you know, you kind of look at your friends who are just so into it. You're like, oh, I can't sit here for another 2 hours. Not sit here, stand here for 2 more hours, crammed in like a sardine to listen to the band anymore. So the next thing you know, you grab a buddy of yours who's like, you know, thinks they suck too. And you're like, okay, let's get out of here. And next thing you know, you're texting your friends like, oh, feeling dehydrated, needed to grab some water, and then you're just off to some other show. So, you know, by the time if you find some bad band that you don't like, the next thing you know, you're going to find another band that you will like. That's what's great about the festival. There's so many groups that you'll find something you like.
Back with Cameron from down in Austin, Texas. It does sound like you're actually up on a motorway overpass. I'm very glad we were able to. I'm very glad we were able to track you down on your phone there. Talk to me a little bit. But in previous years, when you've been, what is it like? Sort of the morning after.
Yeah. So for me personally, you spend, I've only gone to a 1 weekend version of the show. I haven't done the 2 weekend version of Austin City Limits. So, yeah, you know, having gone half day Friday, so you're putting in a good 6 hours on Friday, another 8 to 10 hours on Saturday, and another 8 to 10 hours on Sunday. Now I know, Zeph, you are of a different age than me, but for us guys who are over the age of 40, and you have stood day after day, you don't sit down. I mean, you go in for 8 to 10 hours. It's 8 to 10 hours of standing still, being smushed in with other people, watching bodily functions you don't want to see. You're drinking, you're eating, but you're standing hour after hour. I'll be honest, the day after it's all over, it was for me a relief. Like, thank God. I felt like I'd gone through this incredible physical test and survived it. You know, I saw incredible bands. I mean, it was just, you're just sitting there thinking, I saw amazing music and my body has had enough and I can't take any more. And that's why I'm thinking people who do this two consecutive weekends in a row, drinking. I mean, just quickly, one story. This kid, we're watching this one shot. This kid is smoking so much hash. It is unbelievable. He ends up just passing out right in front of us. And you're sitting there thinking, what? How is this kid like gonna like function the next day? And you know, you think of stuff like that. You see people just trashed out of their minds. It's not all like that, but you just see selected people like that. And so they go, well, thank God I wasn't drinking or doing anything else, because I'd be feeling even worse than I do right now. So for me, it was a test of physical stamina. Along with a great experience to see just such an incredible array of bands and such a variety, and to see them live and to, you know, just jump around band to band and being, you know, amongst so many people enjoying the music. It's such a unique experience. It's hard to describe, but if any of the visitors, you know, any of the people in London, have a desire to go, I would recommend it. First of all, Austin's just a wonderful city. It really is. It doesn't meet up to any of your expectations. It'll go far beyond them. And the show is just a great, wonderful experience. But let me tell you, you better start jogging and walking for the 6 months before the show, because your body better be ready for a good workout.
Now, I'm going to tell any Londoner, it does sound like the way to prepare for the Austin City Limits Festival is to basically do a 36 straight hour stint standing in a packed carriage on the Circle Line. It does sound like that is probably the best equivalent of getting ready for your Austin City Limits Festival.
Having been in London on the tube during rush hour and gone across London,
you know,
I would say that that is a very good example.
Thanks for being on the Email from America.
All right, thank you.
All right, email time on the Email from America. And unlike previous weeks, I'm not going to be silly and sarcastic, facetious and facile, because we're in a shutdown. Government aren't working. People aren't going to work. Now, shutdowns make a lot of noise. Noise basically from everyone on TV, TV experts, politicians giving press conferences. Shutdowns do sound a certain way, but they also feel a certain way too. You know the expression, a month of Sundays? Well, here in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, the very epicenter of the federal government, it does feel a little like a month of Sundays. Not entirely lazy Sundays. Did I just say the Sundays? Ooh, that's an 80s pop reference. But there's definitely a laconic tinge to life at the moment. Washington's got a lot of things going for it. It's got sports, it's got some culture, it's got some great restaurants, has a big tech community out in its suburbs, but in its heart, it is a government town. So when the government isn't there, well, it's not quite like its heart's been removed, but that heart has been stilled. It's missing a beat. Rush hour isn't quite as rushed. The trains are not quite as full. The traffic not quite as constipated. The sidewalk not so staccatoed with pedestrians clutching their computer bags and coffee mugs. And once you get down to Federal Plaza and Federal Triangle, where the Department of This and the Department of That are located, you'll find parking spots aplenty, and you'll notice locked entrances with hastily typed up signs explaining that we're closed due to the shutdown. When you look up at the facades of the impressive stone government buildings, you'll see that for every light on, there's a whole floor with their lights out. No, it's not deserted, but it's not really alive either. Where once there'd be five people grabbing a cigarette break on the sidewalk, now there'll be one solitary smoker, keeping habit where talk was once of kicking the habit. It's not a ghost town, it's just a hollow one. Imagine Whitehall or Embankment at dawn on a Sunday morning. Quiet, deserted, peaceful. But you couldn't imagine Whitehall or Embankment like that at 11 in the morning, or 2 in the afternoon, or 5 in the evening. Imagine trying to walk into Regent's Park or Hyde Park or Victoria Park and getting there and finding that all the gates are locked. Because when the government shuts, it's not just the offices that are closed. Parks, museums, monuments, they all get closed too. So that means there's no concession stands. And the food trucks, well, they now wait alone for tourists that have no reason to come. And the top deck of the tour bus is as empty as the bottom. but currently enjoying the swan song of an Indian summer. Now, I don't know whether that phrase is politically correct. Unfortunately, the government department that could tell me that is probably out on furlough. Anyway, the sultry warmth of the sun's last call lulls you into a sense of apathy, that apathy being the shutdown. But it's actually not apathy. Unfortunately, for the self-proclaimed greatest democracy in the world, it's more like atrophy. Because when you're finished meandering around downtown and being amazed that Wednesday feels like Sunday, there's a nagging feeling in the back of your mind that the half-hearted air of desolation has more than a desperate edge about it. It's great that a Monday can feel like a happy Monday. Ooh, 80s pop reference. Because you don't have to work and all is well and good for the first time. But that lazy Sunday feeling, bam, 60s pop reference, that gets old in a hurry when you stop and think that the open parking spaces and the lighter than usual rush hour mean only one thing. It means that 1 million people have just swelled the ranks of the unemployed and the unpaid. Temporary it may be, but that doesn't make it any better for all those who would rather be working for a government that's supposed to exist to look after its people, especially the very people that make it work. The elected Democrats and Republicans, the senators and congressmen on the Hill, they're going to spend all their time loudly pointing out their differences. That's what they do. And yet, along with the bluster and blame that they are slinging at each other before the shutdown and now during the shutdown and no doubt after the shutdown, they've all been strangely silent about the one thing that they have in common with each other. Because during a shutdown, they're actually one part of the government that are still getting paid. Yeah, the very people that have closed the doors are still getting paid. Apparently, because the Constitution says that they do have to get paid. Ah, land of the free, home of the brave. The Yellow Rose of Texas. This has been the Email from America on Zone 1 Radio. Thank you to our guest, Cameron, for coming on and talking to us about the ACL. Thank you to Sam, our music coordinator, and obviously thanks to all of you for listening. Listen to all our great shows on zone1radio.com. If you have anything to say about any of them, feel free to leave a comment on the website. In the meantime, we will be back next week with another show. So, in the words of the U.S. Navy's Top Gun Fighter Squadron, I assume they're still flying, have a bandit day. One more song, it's Portugal the Man.